It's quite interesting about the nun. So she talks about her concentrated mind clearly being concentrated to the point where she could, you know, realise the end of suffering. But she's going about cleaning her feet, putting out a candle. So she's clearly got, you know, that right amount of samadhi at the same time as going about daily activities, which sometimes it can come across that, you know, samadhi, you have to be kind of eyes closed, sense deprivation. And so I think it's a, you know, nice illustration.
Yes, that's a, it's a very good point, because some descriptions of enlightenment are very, very vehemently stated points. Say, you know, you have to be in fourth jhana in order to realize enlightenment, or all these sort of required conditions. But this is a very good example. Also, when the Buddha giving Dhamma talks, you have, like, for the fire sermon, you know, a huge crowd of disciples becoming arahants while they're listening to a Dhamma talk. And so that it's significant, she says, you know, her mind was collected, so it reined in like a noble stallion. So that's like if you've got a very lively horse, the reins are the leather straps that are connected between the metal bar in the horse's mouth and what you're holding in your hand. So that's how you control a horse through the reins. R-E-I-N is the rein. Stallions are usually quite bouncy and lively and difficult to control. So the example she's using is that her mind was concentrated and collected, so that she's focusing in the present. But, you know, she's washing her feet, you know, and then watching the water as she pours the water over her feet and it just flows down the hill. So just, she's not in a state of hyper-concentration or absorption. It's just an ordinary everyday activity. But then following that, again, alert and paying attention, then going into the hut and then putting the lamp out, and then with the flame going out, then that was, at that moment, her heart let go of all obstructions, all identifications and graspings. It's also one of those aspects of the northern tradition, particularly the stories from China and Japan, the Zen koans, and the kind of stories of enlightenment. It's often someone is sweeping the path and a stone flicks up from the broom and hits some bamboo, and the sound of the stone hitting the bamboo is like ding. Yeah, suddenly all ignorance comes to an end. Very completely mundane everyday activity. There's many, many stories like that, that it's the mind being primed and paying attention, and then just something brings about that letting go. One of the most, I feel, kind of poignant and very significant instances of that is Venerable Ananda. We don't cover it in any detail in this book, but the story is that Venerable Ananda was an anagami. He was a non-returner because he was the Buddha's attendant for 25 years, so he was very, very close to the Buddha. And he'd also asked the Buddha to repeat any teaching that the Buddha gave when Ananda wasn't present. Ananda said, "Please, can you repeat that to me? So I'll be able to remember all of your teachings." And Ananda was blessed with perfect recall. So not only was he at the Buddha's elbow for 25 years, but he also had the entirety of the sutta teachings memorized. And so he had all the material. But because he was the kind of the Buddha's PA, he was also helping people to arrive and arranging things and looking after the Buddha's ailments and just kind of being busy arranging things and looking after visitors. And so it is said that that kind of secretarial assisting role meant that he had never realized arahantship during the Buddha's lifetime. But he thought, well, never mind about that. You know, I've got important things to do. I have to look after the master. You know, that can all wait. He was criticized by some of his fellow monks that, you know, he had such opportunity. He was so close to the master. Like, why was he not really doing what he should be doing? But Ananda had that kind of character. It's like, well, thank you very much for sharing, brother. You know, carried on being preoccupied, making his duties of looking after the Buddha's well-being his priority. So after the Buddha's parinibbana, he passed away on the full moon of May, then they were preparing to have a council of 500 arahants, like a big crowd of arahant disciples, to standardize the teachings or to recollect all the teachings. And Ananda, having memorized all of the suttas, he was an obvious person to have at that meeting. But Mahakasapa, the stern ascetic Kasapa, not the fire-worshipping Kasapa, he was appointed to be the head of the assembly. And he said, you know, arahants only. So if you haven't finished the path, you haven't arrived at the end of the path, you can't come to the meeting. So, like, no pressure. So then Ananda's feeling that, and this is 2 months later, so this is the beginning of the rains retreat, then they gathered outside of Rajagaha at the place called the Satapani Cave, which you can visit today. It's one of the holy places you can visit. So Ananda has been told he can't come to the meeting unless he's realized enlightenment. So the night before the meeting is supposed to begin, Ananda is sitting and walking meditation, you know, all the way through the night, determined to try and make the final breakthrough. You know, the Buddha's already passed away, and he feels he really should be available to share the teachings, because nobody else remembers them quite as thoroughly as he does. He knows that, but he still hasn't arrived at full and complete enlightenment. In the story of this event, and he sees the sky starting to get lighter, and he sees dawn is coming, and he realizes, oh well, yeah, the light is coming, the dawn is not far away, the day is beginning, I haven't realized enlightenment, but it's going to be a long day, I better get some rest, because I have to engage with people, so, you know, never mind, I didn't make it. And it's said that as he sat down on the bench, after his feet left the ground, before his head hit the pillow, he realized full and complete enlightenment. So he has the distinction of being the only person to be enlightened outside of the four postures. He wasn't sitting, standing, walking, or lying down. So he kind of added that one to his list of accomplishments. So, and according to the stories, there was 499 arahants gathered in the Satapani cave at the beginning of the meeting. Then Ananda, to underscore the fact that he has indeed come to the end of the path, he arrives 3 feet above the ground in full lotus posture, flying into the meeting. That is not canonical, but it's one of the latest stories. It might have happened that way, but just to say, yes, my task is being completed, and just to underscore that, and having gained the psychic powers as well, he just flew into the meeting and landed. And the monk who recited the Vinaya was Upali, the one who'd memorized all the Vinaya rules, and Ananda was the one who had memorized all the sutta teachings. It starts off at the beginning of the Digha Nikaya. So then for those 3 months, they then recounted all of the Dhamma and the Vinaya.